Mr. Eric, tell us your name and who you are and a little bit about yourself to kick it off.
My name is Eric Kurzbard, and I'm a surfer, and I'm an artist. I paint abstract paintings of, I guess you call it surf art. I paint a lot of waves and sunlight. I'm a former secret shopper for BMW. And yeah, I'm a former competitive surfer from the United States. I've lived on the East Coast, the West Coast, and Hawaii. And I moved here in 2006 to Nassara.
Okay.
And I've been living here pretty steadily for almost, I want to say, 9 years now. Love it. Surf every single day in the 80-degree water and loving life.
Hey, that's a pretty good intro, man.
Oh,
you covered some ground. So you've been East Coast, West Coast, Hawaii, and now Nosara for coming up on the better part of a decade.
Correct.
For the most part, sum you up.
Yeah.
All right, you're wearing rings today. What's you look nice, first off. Second off, tell us about it. What's going on?
Oh, I like rings. This first one is a Thrasher magazine ring. And it's a
shout out to Thrasher.
Combination Thrasher magazine and independent trucks. This one is actually my grandfather's ring from my mother's side. And this is my grandfather's ring from my father's side. And this is an Illuminati ring that I bought for 7,000 colones at the rodeo the other day.
Nice.
And this is a ring that I had made for me by a friend, B. She sells jewelry on the side of the road, or she used to. I think she's doing yoga now. And this I also got in the store. This is a skull ring, like a Day of the Dead ring. I also got from an artist.
Right, dude. So you've got from Thrasher to Skulls, Day of the Dead to... What was my favorite one? The one from the Fiesta?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, the Illuminati one?
The Mason's ring.
Nice. Nice. All right, so you're styling today. It seems like life's going overall pretty good. I see you surfing a lot lately.
Yeah, I'm getting by. All I do is sell my paintings, so I don't really have a job.
Hey, can we talk about your paintings for a second?
Yeah.
You said that you're an abstract painter. What exactly does that mean?
I would say that it just means that I'm not very good. I think because like a lot of people will judge how good of a painter you are, like by how good maybe you paint a person's face. Like, can I paint you and make you look like you? And that would be called realism. So I would say that when it comes to realism, I'm terrible. And so somebody might say, well, you're a terrible artist if you can't do realism. So I think artists that aren't very good at realism head to the abstract direction.
I gotcha.
Right on. Kind of hide your weaknesses.
Yeah, but you have fun doing it, right?
Yeah, I have a lot of fun doing it, and I see things with my own vision, so that's a lot of fun.
You mainly paint. You said I think sunlight and waves. Is that what you categorized it as?
Yeah, I like to do like exploding suns, like supernovas, kind of like orb shapes with light just kind of exploding. I like to do like kind of the relationship between water and light. How water bounces off, how light bounces off of water, or sometimes how light will go through the water and kind of, you know, do magical things that way. When waves are bending and the sun is either like facing the wave or behind the wave, you have like a backlit wave or a frontlit wave, and they always look much different.
So would you say surfing is the main inspiration for your art?
Definitely. I've been surfing since I was a baby. We had a house. My grandparents had a house in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. And so my mother surfed, and my mother's sister, Suzanne, actually got me on a surfboard. My grandfather actually had a surfboard at the house. It was a really big longboard, and I had to actually literally drag it through the sand dune because I couldn't pick it up.
That's awesome.
And then later I got a 6'6". I actually got a 6'6" Scorpion, a Donald Takayama Scorpion. It was by a company called Surfing's New Image. And I didn't know till later that I actually had a Donald Taki Scorpion is like one of my first boards. And that was an amazing board.
I got
you. So I got that for $60 from my aunt's girlfriend, Marsha Kologi.
So shout out to Marsha.
Yeah. So, I got my first really cool surfboard from her.
Let's explore surfboards for a second since you brought it up. You have a certain soft spot in your heart for Takayamas.
I love surfboards, period. I have an addiction to surfboards. I've been through so many of them. I love them. I love looking at them, holding them. I make them. I actually won an award for a board I did for Lost Surfboards. And I think 2009, they did a Masters of Shaping event at Casa Romantica in San Clemente, California, invited all the best surfboard shapers I want to say in the world, but we'll say California. And so Hobie was there. Timmy Patterson lost. Cole, Stewart, some of the best surfboard shapers in the world were in this event. And I actually won the award. I won first place. I won the Mickey Munoz Masters of Shaping Award for one of the surfboard carvings that I did.
Cool.
I carved an image of upper trestles into a surfboard, into an old Mayhem surfboard, painted it and glassed it. And so I have the trophy. It's in my mom's house.
That's rad.
Mickey Munoz Masters of Shaping Award. So that's out of all my surfing trophies, that's my favorite one.
You mentioned surfing trophies, and you surfed competitively for a while way back when, right?
I started surfing ESA contests in Ocean City, Maryland, and I would say right around 1979. And I began winning immediately. And I had a lot of competition back and forth with a lot of guys there that were really good surfers. But I'd say I had a pretty consistent run. I literally went back there this summer and I won the state surfing championships for my age division.
Cool.
And I got third in the Open.
Congratulations,
so,
man.
Thank you. So to this day, I go back there and compete and do pretty well.
Does everyone bust your balls because you get to live in Costa Rica and practice and surf all the time, I'm sure?
Yeah.
They should.
I actually got hassled this summer. I'm not going to say who it was, but I got yelled at for like moving away. They were like, you're not local around here anymore. And I was kind of like, I thought that was interesting. So that was pretty funny.
So
I was like, whatever, you can have it. But I feel like, you know, I went to high school there. I think wherever you went to high school, that's kind of like where you're from.
My thought on it is I just don't care anymore.
Oh, yeah. I kind of laughed it off.
Yeah, good. You get to live in Costa Rica now and surf consistent waves. And if they're going to harp at you because you're not a local, who cares?
Well, usually the worst locals are either somebody who's actually not from that spot that they're claiming to be a local from, or just somebody who's never left that spot and is like just lives in this little stagnant pond and they've never been anywhere, so they just sit in their little spot and yell at people. So
I guess. So what's your take on the lineup here where we're at? Because it's a crowded area.
Everybody's pretty friendly here. This is a pretty friendly beach. Everybody's really cool to me. I just try not to drop, just, you know, don't drop in on the locals and kind of give them respect and give them their space. But that's anywhere you go. Anywhere you go, it's like that. You're going to have some kind of hierarchy.
What's your take on the hierarchy or the way things flow around here? Do you think it works out pretty well, or have any gripes or anything you want to get off your chest?
Not really. I mean, I like my position in the lineup, so I'm pretty happy with it. Yeah, I get along with everybody. There was a guy the other day kind of like letting his surfboard fly. He wasn't holding on to it. He had really big arms, and I paddled up to him and I asked him if he was injured, if he had a shoulder injury, if his arm was hurt, and he said no. And I said, well, yeah, maybe you should hold on to your board, because, you know, and I was just trying to look out for other people because there's people in front of him and he was hucking his board. So I wanted to give him a little heads up.
I got you. So where we're at, it's crowded. It's mainly, I guess we both agree, it's a really nice lineup, but it has a lot of surf schools and a lot of people who are learning how to surf. So how should people stay safe? Do you have any thoughts on surf etiquette or any messages that people should consider when they come surfing in Guiones?
I mean, I think the best thing is just to look out for each other. If everybody's kind of in that mindset of like, you know, and another thing is like, if you're on a wave and there's somebody in your way, then you don't continue with that wave. Just pull out. Like there's no ride is worth like running somebody over and hurting another person. So if it looks like somebody's in your way, then it's just best to kind of like just cut out and look for another one.
Mm. What advice would you give to someone when they're paddling out? Lots of people are going and you're not sure which direction they're going to go. You don't know who's going to catch it.
Maybe just yell. Maybe kind of just, hey, I'm here. Just like give them a heads up. Let them know you're there. A lot of times it's best to, you know, your first instinct might be to paddle into the path of the wave to try and not get hit by the pitching lip. But sometimes the best thing is to just get rattled by the wave and let the surfer go on their way and not get in their way. That way you're avoiding the collision.
Yeah, that's something we talk about in here frequently, is an experienced surfer knows to paddle into the whitewater, take the hit, let the surfer have the wave. An inexperienced surfer does not know that. So they paddle.
Yeah, they'll paddle
to that thinking it's the spot to go to, and it's not. You know, as humans, we have words, but in the water, sometimes you don't have time, you don't have words. It's literally just a glance of, is that person experienced? Do they know what they're doing? Sure, I'm going to go this way. Nope, they don't know what they're doing. I'm going to go that way. Like, I don't know if I described that right. So here's what I mean. if you are catching the wave, frequently we have offshore winds in the dry season, as you know. Winds blow the water in your face. The sun's in your face too. You stand up. You might have just kind of an inkling that someone's over there.
I ran over Chong. I ran over because he was in the sunlight. And I couldn't see anything. And yeah, it was just like that. It took off, offshore winds, you're blind. And then you stand up and the early morning sun is just beaming right into the right. So you're blinded.
All right, so you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I put a big gouge in his board.
All right, so even experienced surfers such as yourself have
everybody.
Issues.
Everybody has incidences.
I appreciate you sharing the story. Shout out to Chunk.
I felt really bad. It was a really nice.
You give him a fat apology here, but
I fixed the board for him.
The point is, mistakes happen sometimes, and you can either get mad about it and fly off the handle and yell and scream, which never really does anyone any good, or, sorry, Chung.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
I got to fix your board.
I mean, it's all about fun, right? We're out there to have fun. It's not a competition. I mean, everybody's out there trying to get better, and everybody wants to do, like, something, but in the end, we're just out there trying to have a good time.
That's true. So how are you getting by these days? How you pay your bills and do your stuff? All right. So how are you getting by these days, man? You're paying your bills through what? What are you doing?
I mean, I'm doing really well. I actually scored some mural jobs this previous summer with Hilton Hotels.
Whoa.
So I painted a Hilton in Ocean City, Maryland. I painted two Holiday Inn hotels. And so I'm going back there this summer. There's also going to be the Jellyfish Music Festival in Ocean City, Maryland at the, I think the third weekend in June, where I'm going to be a featured artist in that.
And wow. So you're doing artwork here in Nosara and you're shooting back to the States and taking out some projects.
Yeah. I'm going to shoot back to the States. And so what I do is pretty much come here during the high season. I stay about 7 or 8 months here. And then I'll do like a summer tour. Where I'll go East Coast, West Coast, maybe even hit Canada. Last year I went to Hawaii. I painted a mural in Hawaii for the Autism Behavior Center.
Cool.
And then I got another mural job. I painted a private home right on the North Shore. And then that's actually led to some interest from the Weiland Gallery.
Right on.
So there's a possibility that the Weiland Gallery may be interested in my art. So yeah, I'm going to do a full U.S. summer tour. Came here this season, surfed every day, sold some paintings, had a few art shows here, had some shows with Kyle Bombard some of his projects at the La Banana. And I had a show recently at the Ola Alea, and was doing shows at the Beach Dog and the Spirit Lounge throughout the season.
Right on. So you've been busy, man.
So I did stay fairly busy, yeah.
So are you available for people to hire you for murals or projects or paintings now? Or are you about to leave for the States for a while? Or what's up with your schedule?
I'm just finishing up some stuff right now. I have a couple pending jobs. I may be painting the Gilded Iguana is actually building a new surf shop. And they've asked me to do a mural there. But that's the shop's not going to be ready for a couple months.
I got you. So are you going to be in Nosara for a while now, or are you looking to head back to the States sometime soon?
Well, I got to be back by June. There's the Walk the Plank Pro longboard professional longboard surf contest in Ocean City, Maryland also. And I've gone to that the past 2 years and I've gotten last place 2 years in a row. So
is this redemption year?
I'm going to go enter. I'm going to see if I can enter again. And I'm either going to get a trifecta and lose again, or I'll do better. So it's one or the other. I mean, the guys that are there are really good. I mean, I think Tony Silvani was there last year, and a guy named, I can't think of his name, but he's really good.
Yeah, it's like Justin Quintal and those guys, the East Coast guys, do they make it over there?
Yeah, some of the guys from South came. I'm trying to think of the other guy's name. Oh, wait. Steve McLean. Is that his name?
Isn't that the old famous actor dude?
No, that's Steve McQueen. That's what made me think of it, because this guy's name is almost exactly the same.
Ah.
But it's like Steve McLean.
Sorry, and I can't help on
no,
that.
I was just in San Clemente and I went by the Stewart Surf Shop and his poster was on the front window and I was like, oh, that was the guy that just won the contest in Ocean City. So
right on. So what's your favorite surfboards to ride? Let's talk about longboards and shortboards.
Longboard's definitely going to be Donald Takayama in the pink model, or the Opihi, which is modified in the pink model with a thumb tail on it, or a Scorpion, which was my first really awesome board. So the Scorpion model or an in the pink Takayama, hands down. That's pretty much it for me. Shortboards, I really love Lost surfboards. Mm. I love anything made by Mayhem that's wider. I can't really ride a board anymore any narrower than, say, 19 inches. If you start getting into the 18s, 18 and three quarters is pretty, like, for me, that's a skinny board. And that's as skinny as I'll go. Anything skinnier than that, and I feel like I'm on a toothpick.
I got you. So, what do you think about the state of surfboards that people are riding around our area? Like, are most people riding the right style of boards?
Yeah, I feel like in general, like a lot of the population in the surf world has discovered that that a lot of the flatter, wider models work better for most people, and the skinny little rockered outboards really are just for, you know, a special, like, elite few surfers that, you know, do those kind of things. So, but for the average Joe, you want to ride a fun surfboard that goes really fast and is stable and forgiving. And I think a lot of people discovered that, and that's what a lot of people are riding. This is kind of a forgiving wave here. It's not the steepest tubing wave, but it's really fun, high performance wave. So, to have a really, flat rockered, wider surfboard really helps, go across those, planing surfaces.
Mm. What's your favorite wave in the world?
Oh man, I'll get in trouble, but, it's honestly Velzy Land on the North Shore of Hawaii. A few years back, like, I probably get beat up for saying that, but it's kind of crowded now. There's a lot of people surf there, and it's not like, I mean, if the local boys paddle out there, then they'd definitely take over and tell everybody that it's lunchtime and they can go get a snack, take a break. But, it's such a great wave, and, it's no matter how big the North Shore is, there's these outer reef waves that kind of block the swell. So it comes in and it hits this perfect A-frame reef, and you get a dry hair paddle out, and it's like an easy takeoff. So you take off in this easy wave, and then it just sucks over this like 6 inches of shallow reef, and the wave just goes square, and you get completely barreled and spit out into this dry channel, and you paddle back out with dry hair again.
Sounds amazing.
But it's really crowded in, like, I got really lucky. I went there in November, and we paddled out right after a rainstorm. Nobody out. Paddled out there with a local guy, and I caught it really good. I took 8-year-old Carson Carr out there for his first time. His brother, Cannon Carr, is the best 12-year-old surfer in the world right now. He's the United States surfing champ. And his little brother, Carson. So Cannon was surfing Pipeline, and his dad asked me to take Carson surfing. So I took Carson to Velzy Land. And I made a little movie, a little YouTube movie, Carson surfing that little 8-year-old kid.
Sounds fun.
Pulling into dry barrels.
So how would you compare the vibe and the lineup in Hawaii compared to Costa Rica?
Hawaiians can be big and scary. Big Samoan guy tells you to get out of the water because it's his local spot. Then you know, that's good. Yeah, I mean, this is a tough question because it depends on who you run into. But generally speaking, Costa Rica's, you know, got the Pura Vida vibe, and everybody's generally really, really super friendly. Even the, it's friendly here. Yeah.
A little more friendly?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Maybe it's fresher. You know, when people are learning how to surf, it's new to them, and they're excited about it, and everybody's sharing this vibe of learning and this new thing. And I think, I don't know. It's just so beautiful here, and you're surrounded by this beautiful nature, and I don't know. It just creates a vibe of happiness, I think.
Mm.
I think we're really happy here. And whereas in Hawaii, there might be a little, you know, feeling of bitterness, you know, being invaded. You know, Hawaii was taken over by America. So some of the Hawaiians aren't that happy about that. And so that might translate into the surfing lineup.
That's really good points. You're spot on. I mean, I would say that last point you made is exactly it. They're resentful. They're upset. You know, their land was taken over. Their culture was adjusted. They were basically forced into this whole new way of being, and it sucks. It sucks. A lot of history was lost. A lot of archaeological finds, a lot of knowledge, a lot of language, just all types of stuff basically was just kind of hacked off at the knees, literally. And then the big corporations and the big dole, you know, and the pineapple operations and the sugar operations kind of take over the land. So that all makes sense. It all makes sense. And I guess changing subjects, I heard you just learned a couple chords on the ukulele. How's that going?
I did. I just learned a few ukulele chords. It's really exciting. Just jammed out my first instrumental recording. So that is really exciting.
Today was a good day.
Yeah.
Caught a wave or two, strummed a couple tunes, or made a couple tunes.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad was a big guitarist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Seems like everyone has a little bit of creative side in them in some capacity. Even if they're an engineer, maybe they're creative with what they do on their spreadsheets, per se. Your main drive is art. Would you say, is it painting? Is it drawing? Like, what's your favorite thing to do?
It's definitely painting. I really like painting. But I feel like I may be getting interested in sculpture.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but I haven't really evolved into that yet, but right now it's painting.
So if someone was going to hire you, let's start with the Nosara area, because we're here right now.
Okay.
If someone's going to hire you for a project, like what's your strong suit? What are you really good at?
My main thing, painting waves and kind of surf images. I began, basically just by drawing stuff that I would see in the Surfer magazine and just kind of copying stuff out of that. And my first paintings were, you know, just copying images out of the Surfer magazine. And then it went from that to just using my imagination and going on from there.
So are people buying your paintings just to hang in their home? Or are they hiring you to come in and do the murals? Or what's your most common product around here?
People buy paintings for their homes. I get commissions sometimes. I do a lot of work for restaurants and hotels. A lot of, pretty much indoor and outdoor murals, paintings, framed art.
If people want to hire you, how did they find you?
On Instagram.
Okay.
Pretty much.
What's your handle?
Instagram and Facebook. If they just look up my name, I'm sure the editor can put it on the...
Got it. So Eric Kurzbard, check it on Instagram
Eric
or Facebook.
Eric Kurzbard on Instagram, Eric Kurzbard on Facebook. They can message me on either one of those.
Okay, so schedule-wise, you're going to be here through May of 2019, then June, your U.S. tour starts?
Starting the U.S. tour in June, and then a tentative schedule after that for the summer. Hoping to do something in California and the New York area, possibly the Montauk area in the fall.
What does that put you back, your ETA and back in Costa Rica?
I mean, no later than November. So okay. I'd be back no later than November, possibly earlier than that.
Oh, so clients for the 2020 high season, can they go ahead and get reservations and line up for you?
Exactly. Clients can go ahead and let me know ahead of time. Because if it was the right job, I would just come back for that. If it's a decent meal, like I said, I might be back earlier to do the surf shop at the Gilded Iguana. So I may be doing that.
I got you. But either way, you're going to be available.
I'll be available. And they can always just contact me and let me know. And I can get the ball rolling on ideas and stuff like that.
It's pretty big high season this last year. And there's a lot of new people coming into Nosara, as you know. So if people wanted to get a project done with you, mural, painting, whatever, hit you up on Instagram, check out your stuff, your flavors, and you can, while you're in the States, you could even be dialoguing a little bit about this and that and setting it up.
Yeah, we can set up and figure out kind of like what they want. I can get whatever supplies I need to get ready. Just basically get the idea drawn out, and so we know what we're heading into.
I got you. Well, you're going to have I would guess a lot of murals and poles and walls and things coming with all the new construction and remodels going on.
Just so they know, I bought an Epson projector. So I can actually paint out of my own style. I can paint. I can do anything. I can do like commercial murals or anything like that, because I can just basically project the image up onto the wall at any size and just kind of trace it. And I've been experimenting with that, and it's working out really good. So if they're looking for like really precise lettering or images and stuff like that, I can do that now as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So one of the things I've noticed is a lot of the new people coming in, a lot of the clients we have from my normal job, we have a lot less surfers coming in. Everyone's not surfing. There's a lot of people who don't surf at all, or they just want to give it a shot, or they heard about it, but they don't surf. Like you and I moved here and then surfed every day. A lot of the new people aren't like that. Have you noticed that at all?
No.
It's probably because we have different lives. I'm talking to the people as they come in.
Yeah, I guess so. And I'm in the surf, and then I guess I wouldn't see them. But so they're the people that are moving here.
A lot of the people moving here.
So they're just moving here for the beauty and the nature of the place, mm-hmm. then. Well, that's awesome.
It is.
Yeah. Maybe we should build a golf course nearby, because that would actually help out with the lineup as well.
The place was supposed to be a golf course originally. You know that, right?
Become a golf community. It'd be like San Clemente. It's just a town full of golfers with really good surf.
Is that what San Clemente is?
Surf town with a golf problem.
Surf town with, yeah. Hell if I know, man. All right, so let's move to Nosara. So Nosara's growing a whole lot. Are you enjoying the growth, or are you wishing it was like it was 10 years ago when you first moved here full time?
I enjoy it, actually, because it's a slow town regardless. Even now, it's still slow and sleepy. So, and as an artist that depends on slinging my wares, I kind of depend on that. So it doesn't hurt me any to have more possible clients flowing through the town.
So you don't think the Nosara experience is over and it's now become a tourist trap by any means?
I don't think so. It's funny because I went last year to Tamarindo, and I'd never really gone there, and I saw that and I was kind of blown away.
What's the differences between Nosara and Tamarindo, in your opinion?
Oh, it's like a world of difference. After seeing Tamarindo, I realized how super sleepy it is and how lucky we are, because it's really just super kind of undiscovered still so far, and you're just not getting mobbed by people trying to sell you stuff on the beach, and we got a couple pottery salesmen lurking around, and they're don't bother you at all. So it's so much quieter and more peaceful here. I don't really travel a whole lot through Costa Rica, and I feel like it's because I'm afraid that if I go somewhere else, I won't experience the vibe that I have, that I experience here. I feel like it's all the people that come here that are learning how to surf is one vibe. And then all the people that come here that are learning yoga and trying to better themselves is another vibe. And then you have the local Pura Vida vibe, and you take these three vibes and you mash them together, and there's just this really super positive energy about the place.
Mm. So you caught the yoga bug a little bit. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I've been living here for, like I said, around 10 years or so. And I watch a lot of people come here, and they either immerse themselves in a yoga teacher training as I did, or they come on immerse themselves into a retreat. And however long they stay here, a lot of people, and I witness this, experience, personal transformations. And so I felt like I've been here all these years, and I haven't transformed at all. So I thought, well, maybe I'll give this a try. So I got a really great offer from Horace and Janelle at Nexus Institute.
Shout out to them.
And they gave, they took me in, and so I've done three so far. I've done three yoga teacher trainings, one of which I was an assistant. So it is very transformative. So I got that going for me.
So what's that like, though?
You really discover yourself. You learn how to breathe. It's just a lot of introspection and, learning about your body and your mind.
You going to be teaching yoga soon?
Possibly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Add that in. So you could be a artist, surfer, like you said, yoga teacher.
Yeah. Why not? It's
and you going to try not to come in last at Walk the Plank this year in Maryland?
Last place in a surfing contest is still a good time.
You think yoga helps your surfing?
Definitely. It helps my breathing, I noticed. I can hold my breath a lot longer, and I can get a lot more out of my breath.
Mm.
So I feel stronger in that way.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
So what's your favorite wave around here?
Oh, I can't tell you that. It's a secret.
Completely understood, man. On that subject, the internet basically has changed everything, because when we were kids, you actually could have a secret spot. Nowadays, that's long gone. I mean, unless you're way out there, but certainly around here, you have Google Earth. Everyone's checking.
Yeah,
everyone knows everything for the most part. What's your take on that? Do you miss the good old days where we used to have to like call up the surf report to hear it on the phone what's going on, or do you kind of like being able to just log in and see an amazing wave cam and see the conditions?
A little bit of both. I kind of miss the old days, but I really utilize the cameras also. Around here, the surf report, I don't check it that much, because the waves in Nosara are so consistent. There's waves every single day, and they break through all the tides. So I mean, it's got to be one of the most consistent surf spots around.
Yeah, I think so too.
I really enjoy just kind of walking up and looking at it every day.
Is your day pretty similar? Wake up, go Olaya, get a coffee, head back down, grab a surf?
Yep. I wake up, I go to whoever's selling coffee is the earliest in the morning. And then I go, because if I go surfing without a cup of coffee, it just doesn't, it's not the same.
Really? You got to get your coffee.
Yeah, I should have coffee for sure.
Well, on that subject, who has the best coffee around here? You can have a couple options.
Okay, cool. Because I really like coffee where I live at the Beach Dog, but they don't serve it early enough for me. So that's why I go to Olaya, because Olaya opens at 7 o'clock. So I go to Olaya and they have really delicious coffee there. So Santiago, I just did a painting of Santiago. I did a portrait of him because he's
cool,
my coffee guy. So he's also an artist as well. So we do have a little bit of an artist community here, which I kind of like. As far as coffee goes, Beach Dog, Olaya. Is that it?
That's fine, man.
I think that's it.
On to more Nosara stuff. All right, so Nosara dislikes. What do you dislike about this place?
And anywhere you go, there's going to be kooks. And so I made a poem, and it goes like this. I can smell those smelly kooks with their iPads and MacBooks. I think they came on the tourist bus. They like to whine and scream and fuss about the food's not fast enough and the roads are full of dust and somebody took their stuff. I can smell those smelly kooks. So that's all I got so far. It's the first verse.
Is that your first stanza or your first verse?
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So if you ever see Alfredo going like this, that's because I told him the poem and he loves it.
Oh, shout out to Alfredo.
Yeah.
So you dislike the smelly kooks?
Yeah, the smelly kooks.
Okay. So bugs and smelly kooks, those are your dislikes.
I mean, maybe we're all kooks. Maybe I'm a kook.
Dude, you are a kook.
I'm totally a kook. This song's about me. They say that we dislike the things in other people that we see in ourselves. I have an iPad and a MacBook, and I did come on a bus.
You don't really care about dust.
And I don't care about the dust, but I wish the food was faster. It's not fast enough.
So that poem's about you.
Nobody stole my stuff.
You better knock on something quick. It's walking away right now.
Yeah, I've never had anything stolen here, ever.
All right, so let's move on from that. Tell us, please, what are your three favorite restaurants in Nosara? What do you like to get there? In no particular order, just what do you like?
Okay, you know I'm going to say the Beach Dog. Beach Dog, favorite.
Shout out to Beach Dog.
What do I like to get there? Just the fish. I love the fish dish. The dish with the fish. I love fish. And Mike became a vegan, so he likes, whenever I get fish, he's like, enjoy your dead fish. He hassles me for ordering fish
at his restaurant.
Yeah, because he wants me to turn vegan as well.
Hey, well, shout out to Mike, because Mike, well, the Big Rich is my favorite thing, obviously.
Oh, the Big Rich. I don't even have to order that. Like, if I walk through there and I'm like, I want lunch, they're like, Big Rich.
It's pretty good.
And they just throw it at me.
I actually need to give credit to Eric for starting that, believe it or not, because we were sitting there when Mike first came to town. Eric and I were there in the Mango Chicken Taco. He's like, you got to try this thing. Just try it. So we both tried it. And he's like, what do you guys think? And Eric's like, man, it's really good. It's just a little too small. It needs to be a little bigger. And Mike's like, okay. So we went back the next day. And he's like, all right, here's a Big Rich. Then I was super happy about it. The person next to us saw it. And the person after that saw it. Next thing you know, everybody ordered it. And then Mike rolled with it, and it's still alive to this day. Mike going vegan was kind of cool for me, because I always thought like real vegan food tasted like dirt, and I still kind of stand by that a little bit. It doesn't really taste very good. So it was always bothersome when people are like, oh, come try the broccoli burger. It's so delicious. You know, with all due respect, it's like, it's not delicious. It tastes bad. And then also, if it's expensive, I don't want to have to pay money for something that I feel like someone should pay me to have to eat, kind of thing, right? So I didn't think that Mike could do it. And then he's like, you got to come try this burger thing. And yeah. I can't remember what it's called, the Big Mac or the whatever the heck it is, go in and get one from Mike, because it actually is good. And I actually catch myself wanting it and like,
yeah, he's got
going and ordering that.
He's got the no beef tacos.
Dude, really good. Tastes, dude, he's like killing it. So I want to give much respect to Mike, and it took a lot of courage to go from a more profitable model to a less profitable model that actually raises his prices in a place where prices are already expensive. So it was a gutsy move on his end.
It's a really great product.
So I'm proud of him. I'm real happy for him. And big shout out to Beach Dog. Mean a lot to us. All right. So three favorite restaurants. Beach Dog's one.
Beach Dog's one. I go to Rosie's.
What's number three?
Cafe Fiore, the Italian food restaurant.
Over in the G section.
In the Little Italy section.
What do you order there?
Yeah, any of the pastas there are really good, really awesome.
Is there any one you'd like to give any shout outs or any thank yous to, or anything you'd like to get off your chest to say to the community, or any kind of message in any way?
I'd really like to thank, I'd like to thank Mike from the Beach Dog, because he's helped me to be where I am right now. And Tiger Brenda from the Enchanted Forest has helped me out a lot. Surfing Nassar was a big help to me when I got an insect bite and had to go to the hospital. And everybody in the community that helped me out with that. I'd like to thank everybody that donated to help me with that hospital bill. That was a big deal. Everybody in the community that supports the artists here in the community and buys art and goes, you know, to see the music and stuff like that, supports the arts community. I'd like to thank all those people.
Seems like they have a pretty good artist community. It seems like it has a pretty good buzz about it right now. It seems like you guys have some good momentum.
Yeah, there is a cool little ball of energy here for sure. Definitely. And I could see a lot of potential for growth in that world, especially with like a little bit of the boom and the building that's happening right now. I think there's going to be more venues and opportunities for artists here.
Which is awesome. It's nice to see that coming to fruition.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So, all right, you're going to do your East Coast tour June to October-ish, but you're coming back, and if people want to hire you, hit you up on social media.
Correct.
Is that it?
Correct, exactly.
All right, dude. Anything else you want to get off your chest? Any thoughts, jokes, ideas? Any more poems? Our thoughts or jokes or ideas?
I was going to run in with a Rodney Dangerfield joke, but I don't know.
Do it. Spit it.
Being here in Nassar, I've been exposed to a lot of women. And I've discovered that there's actually a trick to making women say yes. I've discovered one sentence that can make any woman say yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to know what it is?
I don't think so.
You don't want to know what it is?
Probably not.
So. But he wants to know what it is.
All right.
So all you have to do is you can go up to a woman and you just ask them one question.
That's a pretty strong affirmative.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, anything we're forgetting? Any subjects? You have any passions? Sometimes you're fired up. Anything you want to get off? Anything that you're feeling tons of love about?
I love rice. I really like rice because rice is a great food for when you're really hungry and you want 2,000 of something.
That makes sense. What else do you love?
Okay, that's right. Did you know that raisins are basically just grape jerky?
No, I didn't.
It's true.
I didn't. What else?
It's grape jerky. This girl called me up and she said, "Hey, I'm come on over. There's nobody home." So I went over there and there was nobody home.
Sorry about that, man. All right, my turn to ask you some questions. All right. Who would win in a fight between a gorilla and a bear?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm going to say the gorilla.
Which magazine is better, Thrasher or Transworldscape?
Thrasher.
Why?
It's edgier and more hardcore. And okay. It's been around longer. And the owner just passed away a couple of days ago.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Jake Phelps, Thrasher Magazine.
Shout out to Jake Phelps. Rest in peace, homie. All right. So you have a way of bringing things back to death or something morbid, I've learned at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. So which is better, death or life?
Life is better, I think. Who knows? I mean, maybe death is better. I mean, we might move on to a better world. So maybe death is better.
Well, we're all going to find out one day.
I think we're just in the larval stage now anyway. And actually death is like the next, like this is the caterpillar before the butterfly. So this could be like the crappy world.
So to be determined.
Everybody's afraid of death, and death is actually could be like the most beautiful part of life.
Okay. Do you buy into any of the old religious traditions?
I just feel like old religious it's like if you play that game where you whisper a story into somebody's ear and they go around the table with 10 people, and by the time the story gets to the back to where it started, it's a completely different story. So that's my theory on religions. I mean, these people, this is what's happening over the course of thousands of people and thousands of years. You got a completely different story by the time it reaches, you know, new ears. So as far as religion goes, I think it's just all interpretation.
Who wins in a fight between Russia and the United States?
Where nobody wins.
Rock or rap?
Rock.
Grunge or hair metal?
Grunge.
Early hard rock or grunge?
Early hard rock.
Black Sabbath or Nirvana?
Black Sabbath.
Nirvana or Pearl Jam?
Nirvana. What are we doing?
Surfing.
Oh, how big is it?
Head high.
Gionis. I mean, if the reef is breaking at Olga's, all over it.
Ostional or Gionis?
Ostional.
Ostional or Garzo?
Ostional.
Ostional or Cameron All?
Ostional.
Ostional or Marbella?
I'm moving to Ostional.
Well, you're not letting any secrets out of the bag there.
Secret spot ruined.
There's not a secrets anymore. The internet's here. Like, those days are over.
Google Earth.
They're just over. Like, those days are long gone.
You got any lots in Ostional?
There's tons of them.
There are?
They're really hard to sell.
Oof. They're hard to sell? Why?
Really hard to sell. Because it's too far away from the project. Most people want to be closer to the restaurants and all the activities around
Gionis. It is close. It's not that far.
I'm aware of that.
And you're in front of Blue Barrels.
I'm aware of that, too.
Oof.
Convincing someone else to buy there is very challenging.
I want one.
Yeah, that's because you're a surfer and you know what's there. But your average buyer, like someone who's buying real estate around here,
right?
They don't know.
Huh. But wouldn't you think, like, if this is booming, then the town right next to it would do something similar, right?
Yeah, our normal growth pattern is once Gionis close to beach gets expensive and Las Vacas, like big views, get expensive, the outer areas start to heat up a little bit. And it kind of has the spillover effect. So it'll go from Gionis and Vacas into Esperanza and Palata, which is starting to happen. And then it'll spread outward from there, Garza, Ostional. About 10 years ago, it was really interesting to see which was going to win, Garza and Ostional. Like, which area was going to catch first. And I thought Ostional would catch first because of the beach break surf right there and the turtles. And the big view land, the lots that you can get really close to the beach and actually have a view. All right, dude. So are you going to stick here in Nosara and keep going back to the States to do your tours in the off season and come back to here for the rest of your life? Or are you going to be here forever? Or what's your future, man? Where are you going to be in 5 years?
I'll be back. I'll be back after my tour this year. The final art show of the tour will be an Andy Warhol Studio 54-esque freak show party in New York City, where I'll have a space rented out there, and I'll have like 20 or so paintings. They'll all be sold at about, I don't know, $250,000 a piece that night. So I'll be rolling back into town and getting my piece of Ostional, having my swimming pool waterfall hot tub combo built by my friend Greg Trenchel from Palm Springs, who did the pool for Madonna and Oscar De La Hoya and Steve Martin and Robin Williams. I'm going to get some really good stone work done in my my yard.
This is what's going to be – this has happened in 5 years.
No, this is next year after the
gotcha. Big. So you said 20 paintings, $250,000 a piece. That's a couple bucks.
Yeah.
So you're coming back with a couple million bucks, and then you're going to Ostional. You're hiring the fancy pool dude and the fancy stonework guy. What else?
I'm going
to
be running with my new ice cream company for dogs. It's called ARFS. ARFS. Dogs ask for it by name. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, ice cream for dogs. It's going to be a healthy substitute.
If it's healthy, is it going to taste like crap or is it going to taste good?
Dogs like peanut butter.
So it's going to be peanut butter flavored dog ice cream.
Peanut butter flavored, but very healthy, made out of really super healthy ingredients.
So come in 2023.
It's going to be good for your dog. I got a dog psychologist that verifies that it'll make your dog happier after the dog eats it. Yeah. Nice. So it's really like an antidepressant for dogs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, is that going to be based out of your house in Ostional, or is that going to...
No, that company will be based in Virginia off the Chesapeake Bay by my parents' house there. So it'll be the Chesapeake Bay Retriever Dog Food Company.
But it's going to be called ARFS.
Well, that's a branch of, you know, ARFS is just one of the brands.
Okay.
Based off of...
What about all the Tico dogs that need psychologists?
This is going to be an international product. It's going to be based there. It's going to be sold all over the United States and North America. And then you'll be branching out internationally.
Okay.
To save the dogs of the world, because there's a lot of depressed dogs out there.
Yep. You said that your dog psychologist guarantees they'll be happier.
Guarantees. I've, a lot of people come to hear from Nassar from Europe. So I have some German engineers. So the ice cream is actually engineered by actual German engineers. Lena. Lena's actually an engineer from Germany.
Did she come up with the secret recipe for dog ice cream?
She did. We had a meeting there at the Harmony Hotel. So I had a psychologist and some engineers. So we engineered this ice cream. We designated it as an antidepressant, guaranteed to make dogs happy, and guaranteed to be good for them.
Can
and
people
help them
eat
perform
it
better. Yes. People can eat the dog food ice cream.
Will it make them happy?
It'll make them happy.
Same guarantee?
Yeah, it's just it might have a few side effects. You know, they might start to scratch their ribs with their leg, you know, like dogs do.
That'd actually be impressive if that could happen.
And you know, they might have an urge to pee on a fire hydrant.
We don't have many fire hydrants.
Well, that's a good thing for here. But you know, in the States there's a lot of them.
Okay, plenty of opportunity.
It could be an epidemic if people start eating the ice cream.
Okay, got it. So you're going to become a rich artist with a big house at OCNL. And then what else?
I mean, as long as I don't get sued for people getting arrested for lewd behavior, peeing on fire hydrants because of my product.
You have artist disease, in my opinion. And artist disease is like a compliment and a put down all at the same time, right?
Sure.
And this is common throughout all artists. If you look like photographers, musicians, painters, just go down the list. And basically it's you actually have a lot of feeling and you can get inside of that feeling and you can go to different levels of that emotion than your average person. Like if that makes any sense. Like Etienne, who is our intern for here and runs our Nicaragua operation, the guy's like a robot. Like He like kind of laughs a little, but he never like laughs a lot. He never like goes far with any kind of emotion, but that's because he's very balanced. He's very stable. He's very conservative. And his life overall is more pleasant because he doesn't get out of control in any direction. You, on the other hand, when you're up, you're up. When you're down, you're down.
So
it's part of artist disease. Talk us through that.
I was in the United States Coast Guard. I was released with an honorable discharge. I was diagnosed by the admiral, a psychologist, as having a borderline personality disorder with narcissistic features.
Okay.
So it's basically, that's what they call bipolar.
Okay.
So I'm totally bipolar.
Now, do you think that's an advantage or a disadvantage when it comes to your art?
I mean, I hate being bipolar. It's awesome.
That was a good one, dude. That was a good one. You connected. That was solid. And on that, we'll end this podcast.